Genesis chapter 47 to introduce our lesson here this afternoon. This is related to an article I found in the Millennium Report, December 13, 2014. Two constitutions in the United States. First was illegally suspended in favor of a Vatican-crowned corporation in 1871. And as I did some historical checks on that, there were some organic acts. There's various titles on those that were indicated in 1871 as I did a little research on that. But I remember I showed you the photo, the Trinity of Globalist Control. Vatican City is the religious capital. The City of London is the financial capital. And Washington, D.C. is the military capital of this globalist empire that they're seeking to build. And all three of these cities are separate states, essentially, completely independent of the nation in which they are located. That's very significant when you think about America, that Washington, D.C. operates totally contrary to our nation as far as that is concerned. That explains a lot of things. And I was reminded of a photo that I had seen before when Evelyn Rothschild, of course, we recognize the last name Rothschild, but Evelyn Rothschild, after he died, I think it was, 93 years old, he's shown pointing his bony finger in the chest of, at that time, Prince Charles, now King Charles III.0. But what's very interesting about that, here's the heir apparent to the throne, the monarchy in Britain, and here's some financial powerful man pointing a finger, pounding the chest of Prince Charles, soon to be King Charles. Who's really in power? Who's in control of all these things? Again, all of this is related to, I believe, Revelation 17:18, where it talks about the city that rules over the kings of this world. As far as America, the American Republic has been replaced with imperialism. We'll talk about that here today. Americans now have a king like the other nations. Notice with me Genesis 47. I want to point out here as far as the power that a government can achieve by buying up everything as far as the nation is concerned. And, of course, Joseph is involved with this during the 7 years of famine in relation to Egypt and that area, that part of the world in particular. Genesis 47, verse 13, and there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. I want to point out here that governments will often use a crisis in order to gain power and control. Now, I don't believe that's necessarily what's happening here, but we're going to see a pharaoh in later generations actually uses this to have tyrannical power. It says in verse 14, and Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought, notice, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. Now, again, this is government control of the money here, but what I want you to see here at this point is money was not forcefully taken. All right, so there was no gold, you know, theft and all those kinds of things as we've seen here in America. But again, Joseph is bringing this money into Pharaoh's house and says, when money failed in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? Excuse me. For the money faileth. And of course, money will fail as we think about this welfare, government bailouts, grants, and all those kinds of things. But the trusting in money, 1 Timothy 6 says that's foolishness. Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail. Again, I want to point out here, it was not forcefully taken at this point. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks, for the cattle of the herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, remember, there's a 7 year famine here, and we will not hide it from my Lord, how that our money is spent. My Lord also hath our herds and cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my Lord, but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? By us, notice this, they're selling themselves into slavery here. By us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. Notice in Joseph, it does not say took. He bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field. because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, notice he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even unto the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not. Very significant there. Notice he did not buy the land of the priests, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them. So first of all, we notice here there's a state-sponsored religion here, but there's also essentially a religious exemption from the government as well. Wherefore, they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones. So essentially, there's an ongoing 20% taxation after this. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives, let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which came not unto Pharaoh's. Also then notice Exodus chapter 1. All right, so this is generations later. A Pharaoh rose up that did not know Joseph or the things that he had done in support of that nation. It says here in verse 7 and following, the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also with our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. It says, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the other, and the name of the other Puah. And it says, he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, the birthing stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. If it be a daughter, then she shall live. The midwives, notice, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? The midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives. And by the way, I don't believe that they were necessarily telling a lie. Remember the Egyptian women, you know, they were very weak physically because they didn't have to do anything. They had servants doing everything for them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. It came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And notice, Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. It's very interesting as you think about in modern times, China, with the, I think they've changed it to two children now, but they had a one-child law. In fact, it was a crime to have a second child without a government permit and so on. Essentially, here we see Pharaoh was a murderer, but again, we see all of these things related to a tyrannical government. So what Joseph had established back in Genesis, a future king then used that for tyranny. Notice with me, 1 Samuel chapter 8, familiar passage as we've had our series in Saul and David. But I want you to notice again some things here in relation to a tyrannical government. Notice here it says in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 10 and following. And as I read this again, I want to emphasize what I have before. Notice verse 10, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. Right, so Israel is demanding of Samuel a king, and here's the statement that they say, like the other nations. Right, so keep that in mind. Verse 11, and he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. All right, so we have a secret service, military staff, and all those things. But they're going to be drafted. They're going to be taken by the king. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, not yours, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and notice instruments of his chariots. All right, so he's going to build a stronger military using your sons. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers, you know, because after all, the king has all these people seated at his table, and he's not going to cook, you know, his wife isn't going to cook all that for everyone. So he's going to take the daughters of the land to be his cooks and bakers and all those things. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. Ahab did this, of course, with Naboth. But I think we have a term now that's called eminent domain. By the way, that's happening in America right now with federal lands. You look at a map that shows lands held by our federal government. Out west in particular, it's mostly colored in with federal lands. No wonder there's a conflict out there sometimes with the ranchers and the federal government. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants, your goodliest young men and your asses, and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. Notice again this loss of liberty. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. In fact, the government will even create battles. That's exactly what our king has been doing for decades. I want to say it again. America is no longer a constitutional republic. It has been replaced by imperialism. This is the same thing that has happened in Israel. For whatever reason, either we didn't see it coming or what. And we're talking about generations, two, three generations now, since the time of Lincoln, I'll point out here. But I want you to think about the fact that we have now a king like the other nations. We have lost our constitutional republic. In case you don't know that, we need to get our head out of the sand and start paying attention to what's going on. Or otherwise, it's going to take us by surprise what's happening in our nation. I don't know why we're still taken by surprise with what's going on, but this is also why our Constitution no longer matters to our President, Congress, Senate, and Supreme Court. Why are they violating our Constitution right and left? Why don't they care? Because like I said, there's two constitutions essentially in our government now. Washington, D.C. does what they want to do. No, actually, they're doing what somebody over them wants them to do. And Americans are left to try to salvage what we have left of our constitutional republic. As far as the President of the United States, I believe he is a king. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. First of all, he's chief executive, as we understand it, president. So essentially, as far as Washington, D.C. is concerned, he is the president of the corporation. Not of the president of these United States. It's very important to catch that because when you talk about a chief executive of a corporation, that explains why our president has no problem signing executive order after executive order after executive. Why? Because he's signing executive orders for somebody above him. He governs with a board of directors. That's why we have cabinet officials. And when they don't have enough cabinet members, they add departments and all those kinds of things. By the way, we should not have a federal educational committee. The federal government has no business in the education of our land. Amen. That's why we struggle at times as far as homeschooling in our land and everything. We have lost our liberty here in America. Who are the managers of this corporation? The senators and congressmen. They're doing, they're signing, they're stamping whatever the government wants them to do. They do not represent us. They do not represent us. Did you get it yet? They do not represent us, we the people that supposedly voted them into office. You want proof of that? I was going to wait to share this, but here recently we had the Kevin McCarthy issue. If somebody doesn't pay attention to what's going on, they would say that the 20 holdout Republicans that were keeping Kevin McCarthy from getting voted in as House Majority Leader. Remember, Kevin McCarthy, in case you're following the news, Kevin McCarthy moved his stuff into the office of the House Majority Leader before he was ever voted in. What was it? 15 times they had to vote to get him into office, into that office of House Majority. Well, one article describes him as a rhino Trojan horse. Okay, that's very interesting. But again, why 15 times? Why is he moving his stuff, moving his office into there before he's ever voted in? If we're not paying attention, it's like, well, yeah, those 20 people, they're just standing in the way. That's exactly what President Trump said. That's exactly what, in fact, remember the vote that, I don't remember, you didn't, maybe you're not even paying attention. The resolution that our Congress voted about full support, absolute full support of the state of Israel. I don't care which side you are on this far. I don't care if you don't agree with what I've said about the state of Israel being a UN state. Here's the point. Any nation that our government gives preference above our nation is treason. There was only one congressman. One. Was it Massey? In Kentucky. Only one voted against that resolution. You want further facts on that? I came across a diagram of all of the ones in Biden's cabinet that have dual citizenship with the state of Israel. Israel flag, Israel flag, Israel flag. A dozen of them the question was asked, is there anyone who is not a pervert or working for Israel in Biden's cabinet? Let's not forget the Constitution is still in place in America. That is a treasonous act unless they're working for somebody other than us, we the people. Republican Jewish Coalition head slams GOP infidels. This was a statement that was made in an article on Twitter. When all the dust settles, I hope that infidels, these are the 20 that were holdouts voting against Kevin McCarthy. When all the dust settles, I hope the infidels pay a real price for all the chaos and problems they're causing. End quote. I'm sorry. They still have a right to vote their conscience, and they do not see Kevin McCarthy as a good choice. Is it going to be, in fact, the question was asked, is it going to be any better than what we had before with a Democrat in there? That was a statement by CEO Matt Brooks, Republican Jewish Coalition. Head slams GOP infidels. Voting against McCarthy threatens consequences. There was an article by Chris Menahan, Information Liberation, January 4, 2023. I want you to think about this. A minority is seen as the enemy. And as I said, Donald Trump was even a part of that. He was accusing the 20 holdouts voting against a rhino. Okay? There's more to this rhino thing than we think. Here's what's going on in our government. Do we care? Do we care that we have almost lost everything as far as our nation is concerned? We're going to pay the price for it as Christians someday here very soon. Kevin McCarthy is a Republican, the other party, the duopoly. He's a congressman from California. He's a majority leader of the U.S. House of Representatives now, finally, after 15 votes, 16, I don't remember, I lost count. What is very interesting about this, as I was reading on this whole issue, it's like I wanted to understand what's going on. Why is there this debate? Why are they voting 15 times for this guy? Well, it's very interesting. January 5, 2023, Valiant News reported that McCarthy had dinner with billionaire Klaus Schwab in 2018. Now we start seeing who it is behind the curtain. Remember, Wizard of Oz, little men hidden behind a curtain, hidden by the media. Well, that was in 2018. He had dinner with Klaus Schwab, and Kevin McCarthy was even on a panel discussion group for like half an hour with another liberal in the Republican side, liberal from Kentucky there. But anyway, the same year, this 2018 was the same year that Donald Trump spoke at the World Economic Forum. Aha! So then you start seeing who is behind all of this. World Economic Forum annual meeting, posting it online, showed him that he is a member of the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab since 2016. So you want to know who the power is behind Kevin McCarthy and why he thought he deserved that office? It's because he was promised that office by the World Economic Forum leaders and so on. Donald Trump promoted strongly for his election as House Majority Leader. So again, as we pay attention to who's behind the scenes here, kind of pulling the strings and all these things. Madison Cawthorn, U.S. representative from North Carolina, said this: there are incredible threats being levied against them, the 20 who voted against McCarthy. Families are targeted. Can I point out with you that they're not doing the bidding of the American people? They're not doing the bidding of the American people. As we think about all of this, the President of the United States operates as a vassal king. Now, I looked up the word vassal again, just make sure I remember the definition. Webster's 1828 dictionary says this: a vassal is a feudatory, or related to feudalism, of the Middle Ages Europe. Think about that. We're going clear back to the Middle Ages of Europe. A tenant. A vassal king is a tenant. One who holds land of a superior and who vows fidelity and homage to him. A servant, and then Webster's 1828 dictionary says in common language, a bondman, a political slave. I really believe this explains why our presidents occasionally have to go to the Vatican to report to their boss. We have vassal kings. We have a king like the other nations. Yeah, there's a lot of talk. I know conspiracy theories. Do you realize that conspiracy is not a theory? A conspiracy is where more than one person or individual or group is working together to oppose something. Do you also realize that the term conspiracy theory was created by the CIA to make anyone who points out their conspiracy look bad? They use that against people. And, of course, they're rounding people up now. All right, so you hear of this shadow government. And we also hear terms of deep state. Well, you want to realize what's going on? Just pay attention and you realize that our president is operating on behalf of someone else. Even George Bush. You think about President Obama, all of these. They were bringing in foreigners into the cabinet. Remember, the POTUS, the President of the United States, governs with a board of directors. That's what we have now in these, quote-unquote, United States. Also, this vassal king receives orders from the crown through the Royal Institute of International Affairs. So I looked that up, and that's where you come with the term Chatham House, which is found in Britain, by the way. You have the Vatican, you have London, Washington, D.C., all communicating these things, and it all relates to Jerusalem that they want to be their global capital. If we will stop listening to the lies and start paying attention to history and go back and dig this out, I believe we'll see what's going on in our world today. The Royal Institute of International Affairs was created in 1919 to 1920. I've seen two different dates. By the Illuminati. Oh, I see there's another. The Illuminati is a real thing. Now, what I found out in history is that the Illuminati actually took over Freemasonry. Well, see, George Washington was a Freemason. That was before the dark side of Freemasonry. I found out the Illuminati. How many of you have ever taken a family photo or actually an individual photo? You tucked your hand in your coat. That was a symbol at one point of the Illuminati. It's very interesting. Napoleon did that. The one who assassinated Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth, did that. All of these individuals, General Sherman of our Union, saw the photo. He's hiding his hand. That's the hidden hand of the Illuminati. Well, the Illuminati was started, I think it was in Germany, and they actually took over the control of Freemasonry. Again, George Washington, all that, was a Freemason. But what I think is very interesting is this. The Illuminati was founded by the Jesuits. You want to find out who's behind the scenes? Here's all these little men. They're going to be judged by God someday. They're little men. They are not gods. Here's these little men who are behind the scenes, hiding behind the curtain of the media and so on. This explains why there's so many Jesuit-trained government officials in our government today. I've told you this before, but Donald Trump went to Fordham University for 2 years. And then he went on to real estate school in Pennsylvania. Anthony Fauci is a graduate. Andrew Cuomo is a graduate of a Jesuit university or college. In fact, I did, out of curiosity, I just did a search online. List of alumni of Jesuit colleges and universities. It is a long list. That also explains the increasing number of Catholics on the Supreme Court. I told you that, 6 out of 9 Supreme Court justices now claim to be a Roman Catholic. You see, they are taking over our nation. Why? Because they think they can. From what I've read, the Council of Foreign Relations, CFR, all of these things are interrelated. That's the American equivalent of the RIIA, which is also known as Chatham House in England. So how does this affect us? First of all, it affects our right to travel. How many of you drive a vehicle without a driver's license? Do you realize that it was not until 1959 that all of the states of the Union required driver's licenses? Well, you know, it's because there's so many vehicles on the road. Well, there are a lot of horse-drawn wagons and buggies before that. How many of you have ever watched a Little House episode where it shows Charles Ingalls going in and getting his driver's license so he can drive his horse-drawn wagon to Kansas and then back to Minnesota and all that? It was not until the 1900s that this even became something that states pursued. We have to have a driver's license to drive our own property now. You can go out and buy a vehicle all you want to, but you better have your driver's license or you're not leaving the property with that vehicle that you just purchased. Seatbelt laws. Why is it the government's business whether or not I wear my seatbelt? They used to not have seatbelts in cars. I know because my grandma was in an accident. I remember as a child, hearing the state trooper asking her, were you wearing your seatbelt? To which she said, I don't have a seatbelt in my car. She had a car that was made before seatbelts became common. And as I said last week, don't pay your property. Okay, if you have your property paid off, we own our property. You see how much you own your property. You see how much you own your property. Don't pay your real estate taxes for a while. And see who actually owns your property. The government will come in and take that away from you and sell it dirt cheap to somebody else who pay those taxes, and then you're left out on your own. Our government has placed a lien, L-I-E-N, on all the land. Here's the corporation. They have established a lien on all the land in the United States. You read this headline, listen to this headline as I read it, and see if this does not grab your attention. Millennium Report. July 29, 2017, 14.3 quadrillion lien taken against all U.S. land, real estate, and people on July 28, 2011. I did not say billion, I did not say trillion, I said quadrillion. 14.3 quadrillion. Ah, that's got to be conspiracy theory. This is done through the Federal Reserve System. Okay, we'll be talking about that here in a week or two. And so literally, the U.S. Department of Defense is debtor to a non-federal Federal Reserve System. It's only name. It's a private central bank. The address on this lien, I saw a copy of it, the address on this lien is the Pentagon, Finance and Accounting Services. This is for the organization called North American Water and Power Alliance. The North American Water and Power Alliance is the assigner of this lien. You want to know why the government and the ranchers are having conflict? It's because the government believes they have a lien on all of that land out west, And they're actually doing, you know, trillions of dollars things they have planned for all that. There's a reason why the government is buying up land. I believe there's a reason why Bill Gates is buying up a bunch of land as well. By the way, it's 242,000 acres that I've seen here recently. Somebody found Microsoft, he's becoming a farmer now. No, there's another reason for that. This statement was from that article, and the essential fact is Americans are indentured servants, slaves. They are owned by international bankers through the Bank of International Settlements, end quote. Bank of International Settlements is located in Basel, Switzerland. What is a lien? A lien is placed on property until a debt is paid. So literally, the IRS is ultimately the tax collector for a foreign power. Do you realize the IRS, no wonder they have 87,000 agents who are now armed. Here's the problem. We the people wanted a king like all the other nations. Guess what? We got one like all the other nations. That's literally destroying our economy. That's literally destroying us. Publicans in the New Testament, Matthew, Zacchaeus, collected taxes for Rome. So guess what? American citizens are collecting taxes for Rome ultimately today. Let me give you a little more history. The first charter of Virginia, 1606, Jamestown, Virginia, King James I gave this charter. The charter guaranteed the German Roman Catholic kings and queens of England sovereign authority over all of America. There's actually been a historical conflict in relation to who owns North America, but this is 1606. Here's what I want to point out here as far as history. Again, this is all history. We have lost sight of our history because it's been rewritten. Do we really care about what's happened in history? Well, we better start caring because it's affecting us now. The Treaty of Paris, September 3, 1783. When was the American War for Independence finished? 1781. So the question I have is, why 2 years later we have a treaty related supposedly to the War for Independence? Here's the Treaty of Paris, September 3, 1783. Here's a statement. Catholic king, by the way, remember, Prince George III, by the grace of God, King of Britain, France, and Ireland, defender of the faith, the Catholic faith, Duke of Brunswick, which is in Germany, and Lüneburg, Germany, arch-treasurer and prince, elector of the Holy Roman Empire, Roman Catholicism, and of the United States of America. 1783, that's in the Treaty of Paris. What I believe happened there was King George basically brought in a loophole there where he could start taking control of this nation once again. Again, he's arch-treasurer and prince-elector of the Holy Roman Empire and of the United States of America. Years ago, I heard a preacher say, and I never forgot that, but as I've been studying history here, I'm beginning to question the statement. The difference between North and South America is this, according to this preacher years ago. North American colonies were established for God and freedom of religion. South America, like Brazil and so on, were colonized in search of gold. Well, as I've been reading unaltered history before the early 1900s in particular, I've come across all kinds of examples that prove that that is not true. First of all, the Catholic Spaniards, especially in Florida, the French in Carolina, French Catholics. Christopher Columbus was not a Baptist. Christopher Columbus was not a Protestant. He was a Roman Catholic. All of them came here in search of wealth, not freedom of their religion. In fact, one of the motivations for a lot of these kings doing this was the costly wars between European powers, France, Spain, England in particular, Italy sometimes, and all of these governments. I mean, they had to fund their conflict somehow. What's very interesting is 1565, Spanish Catholics proclaimed Philip II, Catholic, monarch of all North America, from their fort, St. Augustine, Florida. Think about that. More than one time in history, we've had Roman Catholics lay claim to North America. Exceptions to this are very few, actually. One exception were Protestants, who came in search of their religion, the Puritans, and Baptists, who founded the colony of Rhode Island for religious liberty. Now, I don't know if you still carry cash at all. I do some. If you have a dollar bill, I want you to get one out, because I want you to see something. Nobody's pulling for the wallet anymore. Maybe I should have gotten a bunch of ones, because you can't see them anymore. Well, I want to point out something here as far as this foreign power. I want to emphasize some things here. All right, so right at the top of a dollar bill is this statement, Federal Reserve Note. This is not actually money. This is not money.
Well, what? You can go spend.
It's not money. It's a loan. It is a note. It is a bank note. This dollar bill is a loan. Right, I'm going to have a chart for you to show you this here, how it works, but I'm just introducing it here today. So you have the Federal Reserve Note at the top there, United States of America. By the way, that's in particular the corporation that was established in 1871 because of what we see on this so-called dollar bill. This is a loan from a central bank. What I think is interesting is you look to the left of George Washington. On mine, I have a letter L. I don't know about some of the others here. Yeah, there's a B. So when you look in the fine print, I had to get my magnifying glass to make sure I was reading it right. Well, notice there's a letter here, and this is the wording on that circle to the left of George Washington's face. Federal Reserve Bank of, and then there's a location. L stands for or represents San Francisco, California. So I have one of the left-leaning banknotes here. So as we think about that, so we see very clearly this is a private central bank, reserve bank. And New York City and various places have one. St. Louis, I think, has one. So now look at the circle to the right of George Washington's face there as you're looking at the $1 bill. It says the Department of Treasury, 1789. All right, so what happens here is this is loaned to our U.S. Treasury. And so literally everything that's spent in our government is a loan from a private central bank that's making lots and lots and lots of money. I'm going to show you the cycle of this, and literally they're able to take this $1 bill and turn it into $25. Not only that, but they keep loaning it out and keep loaning it out and loaning out. Every time it goes back through the cycle, guess what? You have less and less money. This is why we have inflation and deflation. And the central banks are the ones who control our economy. And if they want to destroy the economy so they can buy up everything, then they're going to do it. So again, look at the backside there. Oh, in fact, there's another statement here. It says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. So by the way, the only thing that was different with this from John F. Kennedy's dollar bills or $5 bills is it didn't have a letter right here and the statement about the central bank. So it's very interesting. JFK tried to move America back away from this to us having our own money, value-backed money. And guess what happened to him? That happens more than you think in history, as I've been reading. And I want to read this statement here. The workings of the Crown Temple in this day and age is obvious, yet somewhat hidden. The Crown Templars have many names and many symbols to signify their private and unholy temple. Take a close look at the alleged $1 bill, private Federal Reserve System, a crown banking franchise, debt note. That's what the word note speaks of. It's a debt. This dollar bill is a debt our nation has taken out in our name. Notice the pyramid in the circle to the left on the backside there. What you notice at the base of the pyramid, there's a Roman date, MDCCLXXVI. That's Latin, those Roman numerals, for the year 1776. Now, I'm not saying that our founding fathers saw this as the start of a world global system, but what happened is Britain and the crown in the Vatican looks at that date as the date in which they began their global system. Notice the statement there also, annuit, coeptus, nobis, ordo, seclorum. That's Latin for announcing the birth of the new order of the world. New world order, a term that both Bushes used very easily and freely off their tongues. They were not about America. They were about this new world order that we have now had our nation, our government, buy us into. So 1776, according to this article, signifies the birth of the new world order under the Crown Temple. It's very interesting as you think about the American Crown Colonies. That's when their American Crown Colonies became the chartered government called the United States, thanks to the Declaration of Independence. Remember that loophole that we heard about in the Treaty of Paris? Also, notice since that date, the United Nations, another legal crown temple by charter, rose up and refers to every nation as a state member. The United States is considered a state member of the United Nations. That's why we refer to the state of Israel as being United Nations state. Now, it's very interesting as you look at this circle to the left. I had to get a magnifying glass to make sure I could count. It's too small there. But there's actually 13 layers to this pyramid, representing the 13 colonies. There are 13 layers for the pyramid, denoting the 13 chartered colony states. Again, Britain gave those things. And notice at the top there, you have the Eye of Osiris, one of many Templar signs used, the Temple of Illuminati, or the Order of the Rose, or Order of the Cross, and so on. Literally, this is a part of the global system, and we have bought into it. Our government uses it freely, and so on. What I think is very interesting, I had this article forwarded to me, or this quote, I should say, forwarded to me. Chairman Mao said this. I better make sure I put this somewhere else so I don't throw it away by other papers here. But you can't throw away fake money, right? Chairman Mao in 1971 is quoted as saying this. In another 50 years, China will be very strong, and by that time, the Chinese Communist Party will be 100 years old. That's a figure from 1971, all right, so in 50 years. So America, spelled with a K, America will most likely be very envious and restless, but it doesn't dare attack China. Not even with a single bullet. It will research germ contamination instead. That is very unconscionable. After it finishes with this unconscionable deed, it will self-destruct. Now, you know it's pretty bad when a Chinese communist is saying that what America is doing is unconscionable. John Quincy Adams, known as the architect of the Monroe Doctrine and so on, July 4th, 1821, said this. After 50 years, the United States has, without a single exception, respected the independence of other nations, while asserting and maintaining her own. All right, so that was said in 1821. Fast forward 200 years. Is that still true? Absolutely not. You see, we want imperialism just like the other nations. That the United States does not go abroad in search of monsters to destroy. Well, it seems like we do that now. She is the well-wisher to the freedom and independence of all. She is the champion and vindicator only of her own. A defense military. That by involving itself in the internal affairs of other nations, the United States would destroy its own reason of existence. The fundamental maxims of her policy would become then no different than the empire, America's revolution defeated. It would be then no longer the ruler of itself, but the dictator of the world. America's march is the march of mind, not of conquest. Colonial establishments are engines of wrong, and that in the progress of social improvement will be the duty of the human family to abolish them, end quote. That was said in 1821. When did our nation take a major change as far as anti-imperialism? I believe in the 1850s and 1860s, as I've read from history. There was a major shift to empire building, in particular under Abraham Lincoln. Can I remind you he was a Republican? Can I remind you that the Republicans came from the Whig Party? The Whig Party has its roots in Alexander Hamilton, an enemy of our nation within our government. Let's pull back the curtain a little bit and start barking a little bit and pointing out who's behind the curtain. As I was doing some study on this, I came across reference, and I had to look for this, came across a photo taken in 1939, the Communist Party meeting in Chicago. I thought about printing off one of these off for everyone or putting it up on a large screen, but here you have a picture of the head of Abraham Lincoln. This is 1939 Chicago, Communist Party meeting, USA. The two smaller photos down in the lower part, right on the platform, are photos of Lenin and Stalin. The Communist Party in 1939 saw Lincoln as equal to or even in greater status than Lenin and Stalin. Yea, even that he was their hero. If you're not afraid to learn the truth about fascist Abraham Lincoln, I have some books for you to read. The Problem with Lincoln, Lincoln Unmasked, What You're Not Supposed to Know About Dishonest Abe, and The Real Lincoln. Well, if you do a search on The Real Lincoln, there's actually three books. Two of them are older. I started reading one that was written in 1901. It was a smaller one. I decided to work on the smaller one before the larger one. Abraham Lincoln has been deified in our country. Can I point out some things here? I don't know if you've ever known this before, but how many have ever seen the Lincoln Memorial? I've only seen it in photos. I want to read something. This is actually from the National Parks website. They point out here and emphasize that the secret symbol of the Lincoln Memorial are the fasces, F-A-S-C-E-S. So here's a couple of paragraphs from their own website. This is not conspiracy theory. This is what our national government is putting out on their parks website. In ancient times, fasces were a Roman symbol of power and authority, a bundle of wooden rods, and an axe bound together by leather thongs. Fasces represented that a man held imperium, short for imperialism, or executive authority. Exercising imperium, a Roman leader could expect his orders to be obeyed, could dole out punishment, and could even execute those who disobeyed. The fasces he carried symbolized this power in two ways. The rods suggested punishment by beating. The axe suggests beheading. On its surface, the fasces imply power, strength, authority, and justice. What is not known, because it's been written out of history, is that Abraham Lincoln did not just attack the South. Abraham Lincoln attacked thousands of people in the North, even arrested anyone who would speak out against him. Congressman Van Lendingham, I couldn't remember his last name also. The congressman was actually arrested, deported to the South, ended up having to flee for his life in Canada. There were newspapers put out of business because they just printed the truth in the newspapers in the North. In the North. Abraham Lincoln was not actually a friend of the slaves. You know what Abraham Lincoln wanted to do with the slaves? Establish colonies somewhere else in the world and get them out of here, America. Get them out of America. What was it, Libya and Central America, some of those places, to establish a colony, move them all out because this is white man's territory. Well, we took it from the Indians, so I guess that's another story for another time. A legacy of fasces. Fasces is a root word for fascism. A political ideology marked by nationalism, totalitarianism, and imperialism. This is our national parks admitting the truth about Abraham Lincoln. And the memorial. By the way, of all of the memorials and everything that came down during the riots, our government protected Abraham Lincoln's memorial. Very interesting. A political ideology marked by nationalism, totalitarianism, imperialism that exerted a dramatic force over global politics, particularly in the 1930s and 1940s. Most infamously in Germany's Nazi Party, which was modeled on the Italian fascist movement. Benito Mussolini, fascist government in Italy, the first modern fascist state, adopted the fascis as its symbol. Same thing that's prominent on the Lincoln Memorial. Harking back to the Romans, unlike the American interpretation of the fascis as a symbol of strength through unity, the Italian fascists identified with the power and brutality. Notice that. Power and brutality also inherent in the fascis meaning. Coincidentally, Mussolini's ascent came in 1922, just 5 months after the Lincoln Memorial was dedicated with the fascis as its overarching design element. Why did it take decades for Congress to approve the Lincoln Memorial? Rewriting the history and all that kind of made it easier so that, Lincoln doesn't have such a bad name associated to him anymore. The fascis are found on the exterior of Lincoln Memorial, on the columns. Architectural representation of the fascis. Fascis are in the murals of this memorial. Found in the quotes, the quote of the second inaugural address. There's an axless fascis in the margins of the second inaugural address. Fascis are found in the sculpture of Abraham Lincoln, the front face of the chair that he sits on. Fascis are found in the Oval Office, House of Representatives, the base of the Lady Freedom statue, the U.S. Senate seal, and on the Mercury Dime, 1916 to 1945. Can I point out, based on what we saw at the beginning, we have the king we were demanding. We have the king. So, guess what Samuel said? He's going to take, he's going to take, he's going to take, he's going to take for himself. Get ready. They proposed a 30% federal income tax several weeks ago, from what I remember on the date. But they're going to do away with the income tax. But they proposed a 30%, Ron Paul called it theft. Ron Paul also has a book if you want to read about it, End the Fed. I've not read it all yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be discerning in these days. Lord, again, I keep seeing this, that because we have believed a particular teaching, we've been blinded to the fact that all of these things, the beast is already here. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we continue our study of this, Lord, to be prepared as believers in Christ to stand against the error. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.